So welcome everybody to day 8 of the podcast. And as you know, for these 12 days of prayer and fasting, we are pressing into experiencing more of the presence of God in our everyday lives as a whole church family. Whether you're in Perth, Australia, Bangkok, Thailand, San Francisco, or here in Melbourne, whether you're a university student, a parent homeschooling children, or a project team leader in the banking sector, we are all looking to answer the question, how am I growing in an awareness of His presence? And on this podcast, each day we're chatting with different people in our church community to hear the testimony of their lives as to how they have grown in an awareness of the presence of God. And today we have joining us two of my friends, and I know we're going to have a good laugh today. Two of my friends that are mothers, or actually they're moms, two Americans I have on the podcast today. Watch out. I have my friend Kelly Wong and I have my friend Priscilla Leonardo. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Thanks.
Okay, so let's start at the start. Let's start by you are both mothers and you have multiple children. So maybe, Kel, you can start by telling us the age of your kids.
Yes, I have a six-year-old daughter, almost seven.
Going on about 18.
Something like that. And I've got a 3.5-year-old son.
Yes. And Priscilla?
I have 5 children.
Yeah.
One is older. She just turned 24 yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then I have 4 little ones, 7 about to be 8, 6, 4, and 2. I had to think about
that. You lose track. The years roll on. Okay, so we have like a plethora of ages, but I think one of the biggest things as a church community is when we're doing something like growing in an awareness of the presence of God, that's not limited to any age group. It's not limited to any age. One thing that we really believe is like there's no junior Holy Spirit, that God is at work in all of His children of all ages, like big children that are, you know, 80 and little children that are 8. So I think a really important part of the conversation today is just looking at what that looks like for families, what that looks like for parents. I think sometimes like it can seem quite overwhelming. Oh, how am I meant to like help my children grow in an awareness of the presence of God? It's like maybe you're just learning that as well. So there's zero shame, zero condemnation. We are all learning together. We are all in this journey together. And so we're going to chat a little bit about that from your lives of what that looks like. But before we do, I just want to holler out to all the people that are like myself, all the single people, all the people with no children, because I think don't switch off this podcast. It can be really easy to be like, oh, this is the moms and the parents section. No. So I think a lot of what we talk about, because there is no junior Holy Spirit, like the same principles apply. So I just want to caveat the start of the podcast by saying, for my single brothers and sisters or people with no children, don't switch off. A lot of these things that we're going to talk about is stuff that is completely applicable, maybe just in a different way to us in our homes as well. So brothers and sisters, don't switch off. All right. So we're going to start by asking a question that we've asked to a lot of our guests, and I love hearing just the testimony of the Lord in each of those spaces. But we want to know, when was the first time that you became aware of the manifest presence of God in your life? So maybe Kelly will kick off with you, if that's okay.
Sure. yeah, it's a question of how involved should I get?
Yeah, right. Well, it is like a 30-minute podcast, so.
You can cut out parts. No, I'll give you the abridged version.
Awesome.
So I was not raised in a Christian home.
Yeah.
And I, to make a very long story short, got saved actually reading the Bible. So I had never opened the Bible. I started reading it, and it was mostly just to argue with other Christians who were trying to witness to me.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
And I hated Christians, and I was like, I'm going to turn their word against them.
Wow.
Anyway, I started reading the New Testament and read the whole thing in 3 months and ended up giving my life to the Lord. Got a series of prophetic dreams. I didn't even know what that was at the time.
Wow.
I just, yeah, God started to encounter me in a very real way. I had some really crazy demonic encounters with roommates in college and things like that. So all that to say, I was pretty raw. Mm. And I walked into, so I was afraid to go into a church because I was leading a real sinful life at the time. And so I was in music school at the time.
Yeah,
and there was a handful of musicians that were having a musicians' Bible study.
Amazing.
And that was my first church.
Come I would on.
Gather with them in university. And they were my first, like, Mm-hmm. Yeah, community, church community.
Amazing.
And so we would get there and we had like a guitar and we'd all worship together.
Of course
and
you did.
And the presence of God, yeah, as we do.
That's totally how I imagine
it. And it sounded glorious because we were all musicians.
Exactly.
And it hit me pretty hard. I started to feel the manifest presence of God in that, and eventually I ended up in a church. And
wow!
And I just would sing my heart out. I would just go in during corporate worship and just sing and sing and sing, and just feeling the presence of God manifest was life giving to me. And I was like, oh, I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
Yeah. So yeah, that's it's a pretty awesome. Sweet memory. Just
yeah,
because I'd never experienced that before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think by that time I was 19 years old.
Yep.
When the first time that I ever experienced it.
So beautiful. I love it. I love all the things. I love that it was like in a community of believers. I love that like it was in a worship setting because you are such a worshiper in all the, I mean that in all the ways, not just musically, but you're such a worshiper. And so I love that like God even encountered you, like that happened in a place that is so who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So good. It's like the origin stories of superheroes, but like you can see how like God, like, you know who you are. He encounters you like in the things that he's created and put in you in this space of worship. Love it. Love it. What about you, Scylla?
Actually very similar to Kelly.
Wow.
didn't grow up Christian. And I was actually pregnant with Luna when I started seeking the Lord. And it was more of a reflection upon, like, in those moments, I didn't realize what was happening.
Yeah.
I had some very physical, tangible encounters in my sleep, like dreams.
And you're such a dreamer.
Sensations. Like,
wow.
Yeah. But at the time, I actually had no understanding or language for it. I had more questions than answers.
Yeah.
It freaks you out.
Yes. Well, looking back on my walk, even how I came to the Lord, I was like, oh, that was actually the Holy Spirit drawing me, but I didn't understand it then.
Of course. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think very early on, I did have feel his presence,
yep.
but I wasn't aware that that's actually what it was.
Yes, yes, yes.
It wasn't until like years later that I'm like, oh, this is actually
totally
him. Yeah. So it came years later with understanding, but very early on, I would have physical encounters just at home in, you know, my sleep or, you know, those sorts of things. Yeah.
Beautiful. And I think that's so common. Like we've heard that a lot of like, oh, when I look back, I realize it was the presence of God, although I didn't know it at the time.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's encouraging even for people who have family and friends that they're still praying for and being like, oh, I don't know if they even know who God is. And just to be encouraged that like often it happens like that, that people are encountering God, encountering his presence in different situations and circumstances. And they may not realize what that is until much later, but it is like he is there. He is showing up in many different ways. I was sharing a story about, I remember the first Bible study I went to. So again, didn't grow up in a Christian family like you guys. And a friend invited me to a Bible study she was doing. And I was kind of I was waiting for a visa to be approved to leave Australia. So I was like, oh, look, worst case, I'm going to be here for a couple another weeks. And then, you know, I can say yes and then don't have to really commit to anything, you know. And yep, that's me. And so I went to their house and I just remember thinking like, oh, this place feels different. Like I'm such a feeler. Like this home feels really different than my home. And like, what is that? Like, what is that? Like, and I remember the way they talked to their children was very different than anything I'd ever seen in my life. Like, I was like, okay. So like, I think the kid came out of the bedroom and was like, you know, mom, need a drink of water and all the things kids do. And I remember the way they spoke to their child. And I was just like, and I remember the way the child listened to the parent and just being like, who are you people? Like, what is this? Like, and it wasn't a afraid thing. It was a real curious thing because it was so peaceful. Like the place, I just wanted to have a nap. Like the place was so peaceful. I was like, wow. And like, they were so beautiful in terms of they acknowledged me in all of the life group thing that they were doing, but they never like made me say anything or like, you know, it was just that beautiful kind of, yeah. And I would say there's so many times I look back, that's just one example. I've shared others, but you look back and you think, yeah, I was experiencing the presence of God in that house. That's exactly what that thing was. Like, I didn't know these people, but I felt super safe in their house. Like, what's that about? You know, and you look back in life and you think, yeah, you have an awareness looking back often that we don't have in the moment.
Yeah.
So good. All right. So let's jump into the deep end. Let's talk about raising children. Let's talk about helping little ones become aware of God in their lives, become aware of the manifest presence of God. And I guess that's going to look very different for different ages. Like you were saying, Priscilla, like you have an older daughter, Emma, and like even your journey with hers look different than your journey with your little ones. Okay, so maybe let's start with you, Scylla.
Mm-hmm.
What I guess, and you can say things that like you're doing now with your kids or things that have worked in the past, but I guess what is even a posture of your heart or some practical things that you can share to a parent who's maybe starting on that journey of just discipling their kids and becoming aware of the presence of God.
So interestingly enough, it's only recently that I've felt some sort of breakthrough for myself as a parent. I think these last couple of years, there's been a lot of worry and even striving, like, how do I disciple my kids? And questions always around like, what devotional and what do you do, and asking all the moms all the questions,
so,
and just feeling like it was hard,
yeah,
because I've got all these different ages and so many things going on, and I'm still finding the Lord for myself, like, how do I do this? And
so good.
Only recently actually have I realized it's not hard. I used to think that hearing the voice of the Lord was hard. And when that shifted in me, it's now also shifted in them. Mm-hmm. And it has so much less to do with what devotional I'm reading them. Recently, this really beautiful thing happened where I've actually been doing a course that focuses a lot around intimacy and soaking. And it's actually taken my intimacy with Jesus to another level. And I realized that as my time with the Lord increased, his tangible presence increased in my home.
Wow.
And awesome. There was a morning where I'm sitting at the coffee table and my 7-year-old walks out of the bathroom and she's like, I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you this. And I'm because it was like a thing I've been praying for, a thing he'd been speaking to me about. And she gave me a word that was so accurate.
Wowzers.
And within that same week, my son Santiago was watching Luna do something. And I see him just start welling up and crying. And he's wiping the tears. And I'm like, hey, why are you crying? And he's like shrugging his shoulders. And I'm like, are you okay? He goes, yeah. He goes, I'm happy.
Good cry or bad cry.
And it was literally, I just knew that he was feeling the joy of the Lord.
Wow.
And because I'm that, like I'm a feeler, and when I'm happy, I cry. Yeah. And there has been times where even at conference, when we brought our kids down after kids' church and bring them into the auditorium, just that overflow.
Wow.
Luna did the same thing, starts crying. And she's like, I don't know why. They don't understand it.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that I'm actually able to explain to them, like, that's actually the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But I realized that, like, as my awareness of him increases, it naturally increases in my kids, and
so
it
good.
Gives me opportunity to actually explain what is happening. Yeah.
That's and in so the profound.
In the practicals too, though, learning that our thoughts are many times his as well. So if we're driving in the car, it's being intentional to say, hey guys, close your eyes and ask Jesus who he wants you to pray for today. And then they all have a different name and we pray for that person. And so just making it very easy and practical for them has, so less is more for me.
I love what you're saying as well, because it's, I think sometimes you think like, where am I going to carve out time to do that? Like, you know, lives are full and it's like, it's just as simple as like asking those questions or acknowledging what's already happening in them of like, oh, like, hey, I noticed this is happening and okay, that's, and helping them understand like what is actually happening. And I also love what you say about in the car, because that's practical for anyone.
Yeah.
like, instead of listening to a podcast, sometimes I feel challenged by the Lord of like, turn the podcast off, Aaron. Like, here I am. Like,
because it can even break up, you know, with
don't turn this podcast off, though. No.
With four small kids in the car, there's chaos. So sometimes it's really even just breaking that up and saying, hey, guys, let's just, you know, quiet down. Let's close our eyes, you know, or I'll make it about dad. I'll be like, you know, he's at work. And I'm like, hey, why don't you close your eyes and ask Jesus what he wants? You know, do you just say to dad right now? Or what does he, you know, Jesus want to say to dad right now? A lot of times it's actually to break up the chaos, but to have them, you know, ask the Lord.
Yeah.
Thoughts for people. Yeah.
So good, Scylla. I think it's really important, like what you said also about if we want something for our home, it starts with us. We like spiritually, we know that, right? Like parents are the spiritual head of the home. So we can sometimes want some things for our little ones, not realizing. And we can, I think maybe can even feel selfish sometimes, like when we're like, okay, I'm going to take time out to do this course. It can almost like feel like, oh, I'm having time away from my kids. It's like, no, that actually has blessed your family.
Absolutely.
As you've taken that time for yourself to do that, it's been a blessing for everyone in your home. I think that's important. I think sometimes they can feel that tension.
Yeah.
But it is important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, so good. So many things. All right, Kel, what about you guys? What about yourself and your husband, Josh?
Well, a lot of the things that Priscilla said, we have found that, you know, how our kids are doing spiritually is usually a reflection on us, right? And so I just have realized that, like, more and more as I raise my kids and I look back on my childhood, and I honor my parents. I really love my parents, but they're doing the best they could.
Yeah.
And I actually don't know, as a parent, I don't know how people raise their kids without Jesus, because it's such a flawed process. Like, most of the time you feel like you don't know what you're doing, and that's totally normal. But what I've found is, and what I've reflected on, is that it's a real privilege to actually raise your kids in a Christian home. And it's a real privilege to be able to do that.
Yes.
And so, for my household, I've realized that if Josh and I are both in harmony, you know, then our kids are in harmony.
Yeah.
When we are, making it a strong priority to seek the Lord's presence first thing in the morning or at night. I'm a morning person. He's a night person. Yeah. So we do it at different times. But my kids always wake up and find me with my Bible. They find me praying. They find me worshiping. And it flows out of who you are. Your kids actually will follow what they see you doing. And so it's less about what you say they should be doing and more about what they see you doing. And so what I found is, you know, I bring them along on the journey. Like, you know, we've been through so many different church locations, and we've adapted, and when we adapt, our kids adapt with us. They see, they're like, okay, mom and dad are at peace and they trust God. And so I can trust God.
Yes.
You know, look, they're praying for someone. Sophie is at an age now, she's 6 and a half. And, you know, we'll lay hands on people and she'll come up and lay hands on them with us. And she's praying in tongues. And it's because she got an encounter with the Lord, and that was it. And so, what I've found is it is about, you know, the little moments. It's not necessarily carving out an hour a day. Nobody has that. Your kids are crazy.
Yes, that's good news to every parent.
It's like chaos most of the time, if we're going to be honest. But it's like, you know, is it peaceful chaos? You know, it's peace is there, but they're just kids. They do what they're kids. They act like kids. And so, for us, it's like, you know, taking the time at night. That's when I see them, because both Josh and I work full time. And so, you know, half the time the kids are in the car with him, half the time they're me. But at night, that's the time that I spend with them every night. I put them to bed.
So good.
And we sit there and we pray. And like JD, he's just now starting to pray about other things other than the same prayer that he prays every night, which is like, Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. It's a beautiful day. Amen. That's what he says every night.
But you're teaching him something so fundamental, right? Like, yeah. We can sometimes minimize that, but it is actually really important.
Yeah. And yeah. Now he's learning, you know, he tacks onto that now. It's like, thank you for this day. It's a beautiful day. Amen. And bless so-and-so, and bless so-and-so, and bless so-and-so, you know.
Love
so,
him.
It's cute because, you know, that you... They learn from each other, you yeah. know. So he's learning from Sophie that yeah. he can pray for people and that he can thank God for things. And the Holy Spirit's presence actually comes into the room. I mean, some nights we sit there in bed, you know, I usually half the time I fall asleep in JD's bed. I'm so tired. But like I'll say, you know, as we're praying, as we put everyone into bed,
yeah.
And I'll just be like, Holy Spirit, come. And I just let it sit for a minute. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Because, you know, a lot of them, you know, they go to sleep and they're like, I'm afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of what's in the closet. I'm afraid of this. And I'm just like, Holy Spirit, come. And it shifts everything. It's amazing what happens when you just invite the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And suddenly, fears are calmed.
Wow.
They're not asking for snacks,
water,
water,
the 12th time to the toilet,
man, the water. Can you please fill up? No.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit, faster.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love that you talk about even just, I love that you have an intentional time for that too, like that you spoke about that, because we've spoken in other podcasts about part of growing in an awareness of the presence of God is prioritizing Him. So having set times of day, not sometimes as you were talking about, like can't carve out like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours, but to have some intentional time, which can literally be like bedtime that is consecrated for the Lord in that way. And that's an important, I think, pattern that they will have in their life of like, okay, like we set time aside for God, we consecrate time for Him to be with Him. And in doing that, that is a good way, one good start or way to actually grow in an awareness of the presence of God.
And I think just on top of that, bedtime, because kids naturally don't want to go to bed, they're more engaged. And I have found a really beautiful practice to do with my kids is, okay, close your eyes. And I practice their imagination. So I'm just like, okay, imagine you're at a park and you're on a swing and Jesus is giving you a push and He has a gift for you. And this is actually something I learned from a friend, so I'm not taking credit. She's a school teacher and she's amazing. She actually was like, you know, Jesus has a gift for you. And when you unwrap that gift, what is it? And so they love imaginative play like that with Jesus. And they're always so willing at bedtime to do it. So,
I'm going to steal that.
Yes, no.
I've learned something today.
Yes.
I think even like when we've done different things in kids' church of like having them stay, like having them lie down and putting on some kind of instrumental worship music and then being like, okay, what's your favorite place to be, you know, and be like, okay, I want you to go there in your imagination, in your redeemed imagination. And where's Jesus in the room and what's Jesus doing? And like even taking that instead of like reading a story time book or something, doing something like that with them. It's incredible some things that they say. Like I'm blown away sometimes by the things that they share. You're like, where did you even get that from? Like, and highly biblical, like incredible. And I think a lot of kids dream too. So I think, paying attention of, I know like the little ones in my life, I'm asking them like, you know, did you have a dream last night? Like I always ask them about their dream life. Some of them are like, no, why would you ask me that? I'm like, oh, just wondering. Like, it's like, yeah, I had this dream. And then helping them kind of like bring them back to like biblical symbology that you're like, oh, that's really interesting. Did you know that like a rainbow, like in the Bible, do you know what that means? Like, do you remember where you see rainbows in the Bible? And like, just simple, very simple things of like, oh, how did you feel when that happened? Oh, do you know that sometimes Jesus like will appear like da 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 da? And helping them even in those things be aware that the presence of God has been there, like even while they're asleep and is God is talking to them even while they're sleeping. So, I think dreams is sometimes
a cool place. Like the nighttime time is, can be a good time.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
JD shared a dream with me recently. I was like, what did you dream about? He's like, oh, Jesus was there. And I was like, oh, really? He goes, yeah, in his Aussie accent. He was fighting monsters. I was like, so yes, Jesus good. Does fight monsters. That's yeah. right. He was fighting monsters.
Monsters. Isn't that so cool, though? Like, how encouraging. And even for you guys, like, even for parents to be like, the presence of God is in my home. It is always working. And when if you're sending kids out to public school or to school or wherever they're going, that maybe you're then going to work, being like, okay, Lord, like, I can trust you're with them in the nighttime. You're with them when I'm not there. Like, it's a comfort, I think, sometimes when you've been here, they're like, yeah, you got them, God. You got my babies.
Yeah.
Is there any funny stories you want to tell us about?
the face that Priscilla just made. Which kind of funny about stories?
Like appropriate stories, let me preface this.
A lot of inappropriate ones.
I guess like funny fails of like, because we can feel like sometimes I think as parents, like you were saying, like no one's feeling like I'm winning this parent life. I feel like, you know what I mean? I don't even feel like I'm winning the adult life sometimes. So like, thank God for that. So is there any ideas, like just some funny stories you want to be like, look, this did this epically failed, but whatever, like in the whole idea of like discipling your children. I just sprung this question.
Oh, but, look, I've also had mornings where JD was like, Jesus was in my dream. And I'm like, oh, really? What was he doing? He was doing something super evil, you know? I'm like, oh, no. No, that wasn't Jesus.
Are you sure that's Jesus?
Backtrack.
You're like, get that Bible out now.
Wait a minute. What was the last time we read this toddler Bible?
The other day, Massey, he is
how
very,
old is Massey?
Massey's four, and he's okay. Very animated, and they wrestle a lot at home. And he was just saying to his sister, he's like, I have my sword of the spirit. And I was like, oh, yes. And he goes, I'm cutting you with it. I was like, no, not biblical at all.
There's some funny ones.
They have forced me into, so I'm very more introverted and to myself. And we have had moments in shopping centers where they say and do stuff that just throw me in the deep end, which is great. But we were a couple months ago at Aldi, and everyone's doing their shopping. And Masi just starts singing, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, then Luna, and then I've got three of my four kids loud and out, you just say, I love Jesus. Loud to where like the store, that whole corner of the dairy section starts turning. And
these obnoxious Christians.
Oh my gosh. But because they're so little and cute, the response was actually beautiful. Like people were looking at them so endearing and so lovingly, and everyone had smiles on their face. And I'm like, you know what? They just lifted the atmosphere.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I think too, though, when they repeat something you say that is very true but very wrong timing.
Right.
Halloween, I'm dropping off Masi at childcare.
Yes, tell this story.
And everyone's dressed up for Halloween. We don't celebrate it that way. And so he's walking in and the teacher's like, Masi, where's your costume? And he's like, we don't celebrate Halloween. And I was like, good. Takes two more steps, turns around, because it's demonic. not that part. Just the other part.
That's not how we say it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so just,
they're the best.
Things like you gotta have a laugh.
They're so funny.
You've gotta have a laugh. All right, so that's awesome. That's awesome. All right, so I do want to talk a little bit more about, I guess, the presence of God for kids, for small children, especially for, I think, like that primary age group. Are there a few, like you shared some already, Priscilla, but there might be others. Like, are there, I don't know, if a parent came to you and was like, just give me one thing to do with my child, just like one practical thing to do with them to help them become more aware of the presence of God, what would you suggest? Apart from, obviously, you've said you need to go there first yourself, like that's part of it. What would you suggest?
Just share what he's doing with you. So if God's done something in my life, I share it. It can be something really like, actually really interesting stories. The other day, the Longs were over and they went home. I was tucking my kids into bed. We always pray before bed. And Santiago was like, are we going to pray? I honestly probably wasn't. I was very tired. And I was like, yes, of course we're going to pray.
Of course we're going to pray.
Yes. And
we are now.
And we start praying, you know, thank you for the Longs. Protect them on the way home, which I never have actually done.
Wow.
Like protect their car ride home, make sure they get home safely. Very normal. And after like probably 30 minutes, Kelly texts me and they were almost in an accident.
Wow.
But that was something that next day I was able to share with them, like, hey, remember last night when we prayed? We think sometimes we're praying, but a lot of times Holy Spirit is praying through us.
Wow.
And so I think that's a really good way to allow your kids to trust what they're thinking and feeling.
Yeah, so good.
Because we often say, sorry, like Holy Spirit's in you, but what does that mean?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Yes.
You know, like Massey always says, Holy Spirit's in my heart, but I question, like, okay, do you know what you actually mean? So I think examples
it's like that. This is what this is. Yeah, so good.
And on the flip side of that story, I was driving home with my two children in the back and they were still awake. Basically what happened was someone stepped out into the street on purpose. They were walking across the street wanting someone to hit them, I think.
Oh.
And I happened to see, I was going like 80 down this street and nobody was around. I was able to swerve just in time. And both of my kids were like, Mommy, what was that? You know?
Yeah.
And we were, I was just able to say, oh, that person, they were a bit silly. Let's pray for them, you know? And so,
yeah, good.
You know, that's, those are the moments, like, you know, life happens, but being able to say, wow, that was a bit scary, wasn't it? And saying, Holy Spirit, help that person. Keep them safe. And Lord, thank you for protecting us. Thank you that your angels were here, you know, and being able to bring Holy Spirit into that. And even like, you know, Sophie was in a public school. We just pulled her out and put her in a Catholic school. But she would encounter a lot of things throughout the day. And they come home and they don't really tell you stuff unless you ask. And so there would be a lot of times where Holy Spirit would say, ask her about this, ask her about that. And stuff would come out that was actually seriously demonic, like an actual attack on my child and on her mental health and well-being. And if the Holy Spirit hadn't said, hey, just ask this question, you know, what was the, I think the other day I said, did anything happen to you today that was scary?
Yeah, wow.
And she was like, I don't want to tell you, right? She was actually, she got very visibly upset. And I was like, well, you're not going to be in trouble. You know, we're not, I'm not asking you this to, for you to get in trouble.
Yeah.
And she said that one of her friends had said something to her that was really disturbing and demonic. And I was able to say, you know what? Let's talk about what that is. That's a demon. Do you know what that is? It's just an evil spirit that the devil has sent. And you know what? You have Jesus on the inside of you. You know, you have the Holy Spirit and you can actually speak against that. And you, it's like a superpower, right? And Holy Spirit comes into the room, right? And where she's been fearful and scared and carrying this thing on the inside, now it's come out and now she realizes she has this authority. And you know, I was able to say, it's okay for you to be bold. It's okay for you to speak against this stuff. It's okay for you to tell your friends. I said, you can tell your friends, my ears are not rubbish bins. Don't put rubbish in there.
That's good.
You know, and I
That's
was like, let's practice it together. But then we prayed and I mean, things like that, just asking your kids questions and
so good,
Kate. And praying when things happen, when life happens.
Yeah. Yeah, in the everyday moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's important. I love what you're saying about like explaining different things, because I have a lot of little like spiritual sons and daughters, which I love so dearly. They're such a blessing. And I had a pretty visible encounter with God in a service, and had cried my eyes out. There was snot, there was all the things. And I could see them. They were probably like, oh, I think 6 and maybe 8. And I could see these two little girls who I love so dearly. They were like kind of looking at me. They were a couple of meters away sitting and they were like looking at me. And I could tell that they were like trying to work out what was like why I was looking upset. Like what was happening? Was I okay? And so I just sort of smiled at them and I like ushered them over. I'm still like crying. And I said, they said, are you okay? Like they were so worried. I know. I'm just like so loved. I said, yeah. I said, you know what? Sometimes when I feel the presence of God, like his love is so overwhelming. Sometimes I have a really good cry, but it's not a bad cry. It's like a good cry. I'm like, you know, when you're so happy sometimes, like when dad brought your puppy home, like try and give them things. And I'm like, so this is like a good cry. And they're like, so I'm okay. And they're like, oh, okay. So I was trying to explain to them like, oh, okay. Sometimes in presence of God comes, I said, so sometimes, you know, when the presence of God comes and you feel peaceful, they're like, yeah. And I'm like, and sometimes when the presence of God comes and you feel so loved by Jesus, and like, yeah. And I'm like, sometimes that love is like so big, like, oh, it makes me cry, but it's a good cry. So I think explaining, like you were saying, like even what's happening for you or like that they're observing, or even like you're saying, Kelly, like a scary situation or like, yeah, something fearful. And then you pray and you're like, I often ask them afterwards, like, how do you feel now? You know, oh, I feel really peaceful. Oh, well, you know, one of the names of Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Like yeah. When he's here in the room, you feel peaceful. Like that's a sign of him.
Yeah.
And that's with children. I've done the same with new believers. Like people have come into church, don't know Christ before. And I'm like, how maybe they've even responded to something at the altar. And I had one gentleman who was from another faith background come and I could see God was touching him and went over and had a chat to him. And I said, oh, how are you feeling? He's like, oh, I just feel so peaceful. And then he like giggled like a child giggle.
That's awesome.
And I said, oh. I said, that looks like joy. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, you can laugh in here. It's okay. Because he was like trying to suppress it. Like, I was like, oh, you can laugh in here. Like, it's okay. And he's like giggling like crazy. And I'm like, I said, do you know one of the names? He was from a different faith background. But I was like explaining who Jesus was. And it's like the Son of God. And he's like the one true living God. And when you feel him, like one of the things to know that he's here is like his name is Prince of Peace. Like, so this what you're feeling now, you're telling me you're feeling peace. I'm like, that is the presence of God. Like, so yeah, I think those things are good in so many discipleship forums.
It shifts everything.
Yeah.
It really shifts everything for a child when you pray.
Mm.
It shifts everything.
Yeah.
And it can be a long game too. Like I think there are times where, you know, you explain things and kind of how you had that moment with the girls and they're like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, did you even hear what I said?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, are you feeling anything?
Nope. Did Jesus speak to you in kids' church? Nope. Did you have any dreams? No, Mum. Can we just go and do this?
Yeah, there's moments where I'm like, they are just not getting it. And then something happens. Or somebody comes and tells you something and you're like, oh my gosh, my kid did that. And you won't always see the fruit in the moment at all. But
Very good. All right. Well, we could keep talking forever, but we better wrap this up. Priscilla, would you just pray, I guess, for parents and for families that are discipling their children and they are discipling the next generation of our enormous family of God? And then we'll wrap up. Thank you so much.
Jesus, thank you. We love you, Lord. We are so grateful for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you are ever present with us. You're our ever present help. We thank you, Lord, that they're your children before they're ours. And so, Father, we offer them back to you. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us nurture them and disciple them and teach them in the way that they should go, each uniquely. And Father, I just thank you that you're the God of all wisdom, that you can speak to us in dreams, that you can speak to us through feelings. And you have a plan and purpose for each one of our children. And so I pray for every mother, regardless of what season they're in, whether they're working or at home or juggling both, I just pray that you would give us
strength and peace and wisdom and discernment. Show us how to tie prayer into our day to day while we're folding the clothes or doing the dishes, and that we would do everything unto you, Lord. Yes. And remember that even when we feel tired and unknown and unseen, you see us and you reward us for your glory. And we thank you, Lord, for the fathers, spiritual and physical. We just thank you, Lord, that right now you are raising up fathers who have such a heart for you, that actually desire to bask in your presence, and that they would stand firm and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I just pray that you're raising up leaders that are ready and willing and just humbly desiring to lead the next generation. We thank you, Lord, that you are raising spiritual mothers and fathers. And I thank you, Lord, for the next generation of children that will see your wonder and your glory and your miraculous hand at play in their life. I pray over the next generation where there is confusion. I thank you, Lord, that they will not be confused, that they will be strong in their identity in Christ and stand on the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for what you're doing here. We thank you for families. We thank you for Covenant Family, for your church, your bride. We love you. We honor you with everything we do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Priscilla, Kelly, thank you so much for joining me and us today. And thank you for everyone listening for joining us. We just want to remind you that we have a prayer and fasting toolkit that is available online. Each day there's a series of different prayer practices that help us cultivate an awareness of his presence. This includes easy, simple practices like the ones we've talked about and others that you can do with your family, with your kids, in the car, and in all the spaces that life happens. This is available to download in the show notes, Instagram, or on the Church Center app, on the website, in all the places it's available. Also, we want to hear your testimony. We want to hear your testimony in this time about how you guys as a family or individually or your children are growing in an awareness of the presence of God. So you can send the testimonies through to us via DM on Instagram or via our website at numa.church/pray. All right, guys and God, we will see you tomorrow for the next podcast.